We gather in memory and celebration of Nancy Louise Peterson. During the first part of the service, there will be a number of speakers, and I want to ask them, as well as any of you who may be speaking later in the service, to use the microphone so everyone here will be able to hear what's said. In order to be best heard, you need to hold the microphone at this angle and speak into the center of the top of it. After the last of the listed speakers, I will explain the silent or open worship part of the service, which will follow. A prayer came to me this morning. I wrote it down, and I will share it with you now as I pray aloud. God, thank you for Nancy Peterson. Precious gift to our lives. Nancy, giver of life and love. Nancy, receiver of life and love. Nancy, who lived life and loved well. God, hold us in your embrace as we worship now and as we grieve. Give those closest courage, consolation, new meanings, and joy as they move on. Keep Nancy in your sight. Take her hand. Take our hands. Let the memory of her stay alive in us. Disperse her spirit for the good of the world. We give Nancy's whole self, and we give our whole selves to your love and wisdom and safekeeping.
I am Susan, Nancy's older sister. I'm so grateful for this Quaker community, for so long you have loved her and taken care of her in these last days, fed her, read to her, visited her. It's just a wonderful, wonderful community, and I thank you so much. And I'm so grateful that, as I said this morning at the burial service, that Nancy chose our family at 2319 Aldridge Avenue North, and joined the Peterson clan at that point. I'm grateful for riding our bikes up 26th, past Lover's Lane, down to Bassett Creek. I'm so grateful for Pom Pom Pullaway at Fairview Park and riding on big slabs of cardboard down the hill at 100 miles an hour with Nancy. I'm so grateful for those hot summer nights up in our Knotty Pine room at 105 degrees playing animal, vegetable, and mineral together and coming through that. I'm also very grateful for Nancy's having enlarged our definition of family. If you look around the room and see what family means today, it's just extraordinarily beautiful, and it's just gorgeous and talented what's happened to our family. And I'm so immensely proud of Nancy. Hi, Cassie. I'm so proud of Nancy that she decided, rather than staying with her pee bags and waiting for the inevitable in Minneapolis, she packed it up and went out to her grandchildren, Almedito and Esperanza, and followed her heart. And this is not new behavior. When Marlene and I were getting our permanence, I think we were 6 and 8, and Nancy was a little pequeño, about 4 years old. We were puling and moaning and screaming about our fuzzy hair, and she decided she was going to walk up to my Aunt Franny's house, which was a mile away, and did it on her own, navigated the Lindale Avenue past the Lutherans on 26, and past Laurie, and past the florist on 33rd Avenue and Lindale, and went up to my Aunt Franny's and arrived there. She also decided when she was a little older that she would drive her Chevy Nova across the country to visit the Swedish cousins in California. She did it on her own. She camped and took care of herself all the way. So, and I'm also extremely gratified that she gave us the pillow dance. For years, we've been doing silly things together and bonding with the chicken dance. And Nancy at Gloria's Cabin decided that we needed a new dance, put a pillow on her head. Marlene followed suit. And it has become a new tradition of silliness that has held us together. So I'm very grateful for that. This last Christmas, she was not doing the pillow dance, nor was she doing the chicken dance. She did do the waltz. It was her favorite little French waltz. She decided to get up and dance. She propped herself on Chester and did the waltz. This is her favorite little French waltz, which I will play. It's very much like Nancy. It's in the key of C, a few accidentals in it, clear, direct, and very sweet. And it's a song that she very much loves. So I will play it for you, and if you can imagine Chester and Nancy dancing on Christmas, that would be lovely.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm ahead of myself. I will sit back down.
ministry. Precious Lord, linger me when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. See, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm low. Through the storm, precious Lord, lead me home. In the darkness of peace, precious Lord, was near. And the night is past.
Good afternoon. So I'm Chester, and I had the pleasure of being Nancy's partner, husband, for over 36 plus years. She was an amazing woman. We loved, laughed, cried, raised children, grieved deaths and other losses, and celebrated and celebrated and celebrated. I am fortunate to have had her in my life. She was strong. She was brave. Most people would not say she was a risk taker, but she took the risks that were important to her. Her kind, gentle spirit nurtured our daughters and me. I always felt safe and secure with the knowledge that she was beside me. Before we were married, my mama, Bernice McCoy, came to visit. So we attended this play called Mothers and Daughters. At the conclusion, the mothers in the audience were invited to introduce their daughters. And without hesitation, my mother stood up and introduced Nancy as her daughter. If any of you met my mother, you know she's 4'11", if that. Nancy, I can say with some certainty, was a woman I always looked up to. And she introduced her as her daughter. She didn't consult with me about it. You know, I have to say it was a magical moment. I knew at that point in time she was saying to me, "Chester, do not mess this up." Nancy related well to children. In 1975, we worked together at a preschool program, which is where we met. She taught two-year-old children. The two-year-olds that she taught, you know, some of them weren't the nicest kids in the world. They could be rather obstinate. And she was so patient with these kids. I mean, so patient. I remember looking and thinking to myself, you know what? If I ever have kids, I'm going to have a mama like her. Things worked out. She was happiest when she was with family and friends, and she was especially happy when she was around children. Nancy had a remarkable ability to connect with others regardless of age, race, sex, sexual orientation, or religion. And though she considered herself to be an introvert, I can assure you she connected with others more than any extrovert, and I should know. Through the 36 years of our marriage and partnership, we had a frequent phrase that we said to one another all the time. I'm so glad that we're in this together, including the marriage and all things in between. I don't want you to get the impression that Nancy was perfect, but she was perfect for me. I had envisioned having a relationship, and I thank God that he sent Nancy into my life when I asked for that gift of a relationship. I know Nancy's not gone, because I see Nancy in the eyes of Megan and Hannah. I feel her strength in the relationships of Megan and Ometo and Hannah and Malik. I hear her in the laughter of our grandchildren, Ometo and Esperanza. I feel her in the spirit of family and friends who surround me and our daughters and their families with love and kindness. To quote a song from Emmylou Harris, "The road of life is long, sometimes rough, but when you love someone, life's not long enough." I'm eternally grateful I had the pleasure of spending 36 years with the best partner and most remarkable person I have ever known, Nancy Peterson. I'm grateful for the support of family, friends, our religious community, and former co-workers for helping me through this. I talked with my brother Michael in St. Louis, my brother Stephen in St. Louis, and my mom. And they all said pretty much the same thing when I asked them what you'd like me to confer at the memorial for Nancy. Remember to tell them that she was very loving. She was very giving. She was very understanding. She was one of the most understanding people we knew. And that they loved her like a sister. My mother loved her like a daughter. And I loved her as a partner and wife she was for me for you those many years.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being with us. We are all in this together. B, B, B. What begins with B? Mm-hmm. Beloved Biggie Grandma, beautiful butterfly. B, B, B. My mom? She saved us from a fire. She was intuitive and brave. She gave her all to everyone. When I called home from school and talked about my friends and my loves, she listened and she drank in the words. She was a master listener. She oohed and awed, and no, she didn't did, at all the right places. And when we hung up, she was magical. She was a doer. Not in a, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that doer, but a silent doer. If during our call I talked about how cold it's getting at Scattergood, in a couple of days a care package with wool mittens, boxes of tea, and malt meal would arrive, including something for my roommate. Biggie Grandma, as my daughter named her, was magical. She woke up before the sun so she could have all the quiet spaces all to herself to write and plan her doing and work on puzzles with her granddaughter, little Esperanza. My mom shared. She was generous, wonderful, and kind. She shared her children, Hannah and I, with her friend Annette, and all of you. She gave her vehicles away to family members in need. She shared her poetry with others experiencing cancer. And she shared part of her life story in her book, White Women Getting Real, to unlock conversations often difficult for others to have. In passing, my mom shares her grace. Nancy Graceful, Nancy full of life, full of love and light. Nancy, we feel your presence, and may our lives honor your tremendous legacy. We love you, Mama.
I still can't listen to certain music from 1996 and 1997. It invokes a sadness in me and a sense of doom, a looming shadow of darkness that I really can't explain. But it's cancer. When my mom was first diagnosed, I remember her phoning me at my friend Jeannie's house, and we were getting ready to go to camp, and we went to camp every year together, and it was the most planned for, anticipated moment and week of our lives. And it just hit me in my stomach, and I felt I lost my innocence and my freedom. And that's, I think, how anyone feels when they find out one of their parents has cancer.
When my mom started to get better and she was well enough to drive me to school, although I was like a junior in high school, she took pride in it, and that was our routine. And she made my lunches all through senior year, which I loved and appreciated. And we would listen to KMOJ radio, because they always played gospel in the mornings. Even though we didn't grow up listening to much gospel music, we really felt a sense of comfort in it. And Fred Hammond, No Weapon, became our anthem. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. And she fought, and I made her vegetables or tried to make her anything that wouldn't get her to throw up when she was feeling sick. And she made it through for 17 more beautiful years. Then in January of 2012, in the midst of planning my wedding, I got another phone call. When I reflect and think about the gifts I received from my mother, certainly the gift of love, unconditional love, comfort, and the ability to comfort others, and encouragement, and self-esteem, and strength, I couldn't be the woman I am today. I'm a loving wife, an aunt, a niece, a daughter, a sister, to my sister and to my sister friends. I couldn't be who I am without her. I also was privileged to observe my mother's pursuit of herself, who she really was from the inside out, her identity and her life calling. And I know that watching these cycles of transformation from an early on in my childhood has helped propel me on my own quest, which is still playing out today, personally and professionally. She taught me how to think deeply and be reflective, how to examine some of the scariest parts of myself with more curiosity than fear. What potential lies in our pain? Whenever I traveled the world, I would always bring my mom a rosary. And although I was living far away from home, this was a way of showing her that I still needed her doting prayers, her hope, her loving, her thinking about me and worrying about me. And she always prayed on those rosaries for me, and she's brought me many good fortunes for that, many good opportunities. Oh, I wish my mother had 20 more years so she could watch Esperanza grow up, have her quinceañera, go to college, watch Pudgy go to high school, and welcome the births of grandchildren to come. I need her. But I am grateful that I had her. She was a gift of love from God. She's been a tremendous impact to me, and she's had an impact on many others. She'll be thought of daily. Her work, her writings, her love, it will carry on through her family and friends and her grandchildren. We will all remember the woman she was.
Who wouldn't like to have your children just say what her two children just said about her? Oh, talk about a successful life. I really have nothing else to say then. That was absolutely perfect. I've been thinking about what I'd say at this moment for over 18 years. Afraid that at any moment she could be snatched. And now it's happened. But we did benefit from the loving 18 more years. She was so brave, and I miss her bravery. I see a Spandell in the audience, and Helen Quintel and Nancy went across Europe hitchhiking. Susan already talked about Nancy driving her Chevy Nova to the West Coast and camping by herself. Nancy, you married Chester and risked losing your parents. Your risk taking was most often to help another. When we had our father, we had to put our father in the nursing home. The nursing supervisor already knew Nancy. He came up to her and said, "Oh, I know you. Hey, you stopped on the freeway when I was carrying my gas can." This was a man of color. And here's a woman pulling over on the freeway to pick up a man carrying a gas can. "I remember you." Risky behavior. And we all have stories like this about Nancy. She really helped all of us. She reached out and took care of everyone in need and confronted lovingly our misconceptions about those in need. Too nice. So forgiving. The world is less because you're gone. Thank you. You've given me so much. When you died, Hannah and Megan felt your embrace, passing on your loving ways. They and Chester and the grandkids will be basking in your love for generations to come.
Hello. I'm Marlene, the eldest sister, the Peterson sister. Oh, I have to use this, of course. Okay, hello, I'm Marlene, I'm the eldest sister in the Peterson family. And I usually do history because then I don't cry, okay? So, and then I also get into a book that she has, White Women Getting Real About Race. Nancy was employed as a special education preschool teacher with Minneapolis Public Schools for 30 years. She enjoyed writing poetry and journaling. She was published in the anthologies Looking for Home, Women Writing About Exile, and the Cancer Poetry Project, Poems by Cancer Patients and Those Who Love Them. She also published her own book of poetry, Spring at Last. Nancy is a co-editor of White Women Getting Real About Race, an anthology of educators discussing the impact of race, racism, and teaching in diverse classrooms. Nancy was committed to building connections between people of various racial, ethnic, and religious backgrounds. In the early to mid-80s, she and Chester were involved in as participants and panelists in interracial family workshops. In the mid-90s, they hosted multi-generational storytelling events in their South Minneapolis home. Along with others, she was co-founder of the group Winds of Change, whose mission included promoting conversations about white privilege and promoting more diverse and equitable culture in groups and organizations. We have the book here. We have copies of the book she co-edited with Judith James here today, White Women Getting Real About Race. It includes stories by 12 teachers, including Nancy and Judy, about what they learned teaching diverse classrooms. Teaching in diverse classrooms. Nancy's story about her interracial marriage is a highlight for us in this book. In it, she reflects on the difficulties and joys of an interracial marriage in today's world. It is a story of love and reconciliation. My mother at first opposed her marriage, and it was just the sisters at the marriage, at Nancy's marriage to begin with, who actually Well, with time and strong support of our family and Chester's family, love was restored within the family. The interracial connection has made our lives infinitely richer. I want to read an excerpt from a poem from her story, from that story. And this is entitled The Screen Door. Race around an ordinary life is a screen door people look through, but seldom open. I am a white woman behind the screen door trying to talk. I am a white woman trying to talk about race. Scared. I am scared, white woman, trying. Introvert. I am a scared white woman. Introvert, interracially married. I am an interracially married, scared white woman, introvert, trying to talk about race. Ain't I a strong woman? Dare I open that screen door? And wasn't she the bravest of women? And we all loved her.
I was thinking a lot yesterday about coming here today and all the beautiful people that would be here. And I talked to Pat last night and I said, it just doesn't seem right that Nancy's not going to be there. So she came to me in my dreams last night. All of us were on staying in a place, in a hotel or something, and the next day was going to be Nancy's memorial service. And we had to get on a van to come to it. So I got in the van, and I looked, and the person sitting right in front of me is Nancy. I said, what are you doing here? She said, I'm not going to miss my own funeral. And then I just hugged her and kissed her and said, I'm so glad to see you. And told her about some worries I've been having. I'm sure a lot of people have done that with Nancy. And she said, don't worry about that. And you know, in her last, when the recurrence of the cancer came, Nancy especially knew, I'm not wasting any time on this or that. I'm really going to focus on what matters. And she said to me, what matters is love. And especially love the children and the young people.
In a few minutes, we'll be singing together. After that, there will be a period of Quaker silence or open worship. During that time, if you are so led, you may stand and speak, pray, or sing aloud. If you are going to do that, please wait a little bit after any previous speaker so we can fully absorb what everyone says. In the silent time, we pray, meditate, reflect. We are many, so if you do speak, please be brief. The meeting will close with a handshake to those nearby you. And then I'll say a little bit about the reception afterward. The words to the song we're going to sing, Breaths, is in the program. You might look around. If there are people who do not have a program nearby them, why don't you raise your hand and perhaps someone can share with you.
Okay, so we'll use this one. You can use that one. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah.
And this is a Sweet Honey in the Rock song, and the poem is originally by Barago Diop, which happens to be my last name, a Senegalese man who was a veterinarian and a poet. So, And we will sing the first verse, and then we'd like people to join in. And if you're familiar with the song, you may join in at any point you're comfortable. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestors' breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestors' breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never left. The dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the wailing child. They are with us in our homes. They are with us in this crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestors' breath in the voice of the waters.
It was 1970, and we were just through the Martin Luther King March. And my husband and I decided, we had three biological Caucasian children, and we decided to add one more child to our family. So we adopted a little girl. And we lived in northern Minnesota. She was the only black child in the entire community. People used to come to me and pat her on the head and say, "Where did you get her?" They asked many questions that broke my heart. But my resolve was, I am going to retort with love to everyone who asks, because this is a gift of love. A few years later, I moved down to the city, and knowing Nancy had married a black man, I went to her and said, "Help, what does this mean?" And she guided me along with Chester, gave good advice as to how my daughter Kate would see the world. And I was so blessed by that connection. And Nancy always heard me out and gave me love. But in my heart, she kept a special, special place for the bravery. Because in the end, we're all for love. There is nothing else but love. And we're moving towards it more and more. And I was very surprised when Nancy passed. I didn't know that. But she always will have a special, special place in my heart.
I've been reading the novels of Alexander McCall Smith, which are set in Botswana. They are detective novels, not really murder mysteries, but there is a fair amount of death in them. The people of Botswana do not say a person has died. They say that person has become late. An interesting turn of phrase, implying, I think, that the dead one is not gone forever, but merely delayed in returning. And it is for us here today to wait for the late Nancy Peterson.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind,
in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will surely come again, that where I am, there ye may be also.
We've heard so much about Nancy's personality, her caring, her loving, but I think there's another aspect that we need to discuss, and that's kind of her fierce personality. She had so much character to her, and when reflecting on that, I try to think about where that came from, and I know exactly where that came from, and anyone who's met Julie Peterson knows where that came from. When thinking that, you know, being the daughter of Julie Peterson and the relationship that she had with her husband Sigurd, I'm reminded of an event at their 50th wedding anniversary that was held when Sigurd was asked, you know, how have you been able to maintain such a wonderful, caring, loving relationship for 50 years? And he very frankly said, well, I've always had the last word in any argument. And when pressed on that, Sigurd said, well, what were those last words? Yes, dear. And I think we all know for a fact that that relationship that Julie and Sigurd shared has been passed down to the relationship that Nancy and Chester shared, in that she was there, she was making the final decision. They were going to Maryland. They were going to Cuba. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to get this van, and it's just going to happen. And Chester, you don't have anything to, you have no say in this matter. And you see that passed down in his daughters as well. There was a perfect example of it just today. We saw Chester get up out of place, out of turn, who was the first to pull him back into his place? His daughters. And we see these relationships continuing through the generations. We see the men that these two beautiful daughters have chosen to share their lives with, create new children, and I'm just very happy to have these new members in our family. And I think bringing it back to Nancy, just with her fighting personality, her desire to stick around for 18 more years, to go to her daughter's wedding, to see her grandchildren be born, I think just speaks to her personality, and I look forward to seeing that same personality passing into not only Esperanza, but the latest member of the family as well, where he knows his place as a man. as a man in the McCoy Peterson Nazati Diop family.
I met Nancy 35 years ago when I got a summer job during graduate school as a school psychologist and worked with her in her early days in special education in Minneapolis Public Schools, and learned a lot from her at that time, being a new psychologist. And she came back into my life about 10 years later when Chester and I both were supervisors on agencies down in Nicollet Avenue and met one another, and one day he said, "Want to come to a camel party?" That's it. Other than saying, "What's a camel party?" that's the end of that. But we spent much time together, and as Chester and I became friends, Nancy was by our side. And the last 2 years since her relapse, every time I saw her, she would say, "Thank you for taking care of Chester. Thank you for helping Chester." And when the issue of the move to Maryland came up, I didn't really understand it. She was so weak and so sick, and I couldn't understand why she was pushing it so hard. And I always thought that it was so that she could spend her time with her grandchildren and her daughter and Olmedo and be closer to them. But yesterday I had a different insight, seeing Chester, that I think a real big part of why she did it was to make sure that Chester was with them when she left him, so that they could take care of him.
I'm one of the many amateur writers that Nancy's encouraged along the way. In 1999, she started one of her many writing groups for people who had life-threatening illnesses. And I guess there's three of us left in that group, and we continue to write all the way to the end of her time in Minneapolis. And I know that it would make her happy to think that those of us who she encouraged to put our thoughts and feelings in words, that will continue. Writing was such a big part of her heart. Thank you.
I had the privilege to meet Nancy in 1986 when I joined the Minneapolis Public Schools Early Childhood Special Education staff. It didn't take long before I became aware of what a gentle-hearted, compassionate, and respectful woman she was. In the 20-plus years we worked together, I never heard her make a negative statement about the children, their families, or her colleagues. She cared deeply about the children and the family she worked with, and at the same time possessed the skill of knowing what she could change and accepting what she could not change. Anyone who knew Nancy experienced her sense of humor and contagious laugh. She loved telling and hearing the endearing stories we shared about the antics of the children that we served. She truly appreciated children simply being themselves. We celebrated our retirements together in June of 2008 and went on to new things. And one of the new things I went on to was Nancy's writing group. She was a terrific facilitator of the group and opened my mind to the creativity of writing. I learned a great deal about how to gather my thoughts and put pen to paper under Nancy's tutelage. My thoughts have turned to Nancy frequently in the last few months, and one thing that shines above all others is her great love for her family. Her children and grandchildren brought considerable joy to her life. She was so very proud of all of you. I'm happy that she was able to be near you during the last few months of her life. The love that Nancy and Chester shared was always apparent. I remember thinking after being at an event with the two of them that those two are really in love. Whenever I hear the Neil and Leander song, Old Love, I think of Nancy and Chester. The words to the song, which I will not sing for you, but I will share with you, say, we've got an old love, one we never will get tired of, one that fits us like an old glove, one to warm the winter days. We don't have to say I love you quite as often as we used to. Love goes without saying, but we just say it anyway. Although Nancy's physical being has passed, her spirit has become a part of all of us who knew her. I wish you, Chester, and your family peace and comfort.
I remember the first Sunday that Chester and Nancy came to the meeting, and I went over to greet them, and I thought, oh, I like these people. I sure hope they like us. And they did. Many memories over the years, but one of the greatest gifts in my life was when Nancy and Diane and Annette and another Nancy came and asked me if I would like to be in a writing group, and I said yes I would if they would come to me, which they have done all these 11 years, writing almost about once a month all that time. We recently added another Barbara, who already fit in with us so well. We got to know each other so well over those years, and it was just a precious thing for me. And I remember Nancy, so always so honest, so without deception, so unembarrassed about her loss of hair, and so proud of the new growth of hair. Just feel it. It's so soft. I just can hardly talk about it, but she really meant a great deal to me.
I've been asked to share with you, there is a blank book if you want to write something to Nancy. We're going to have it in that area, and there'll be pens, and so you can put anything in writing that you didn't have a chance to express at this time.